Good morning. Thank you for being here. Today I'll present briefly some preliminary results on some work that we are doing in collaboration with colleagues from Texas A&M, from where I moved recently to Rutgers University. That's where I'm stationed now. But we have people from El Paso, Genoa, and Dr. Sun, and then Susan Cooper from the Uvalde Research and Extension Center of A&M, where most of the research results that I'm presenting today have been taking place. So today we'll be talking about gray water, soapy water, as I like to call it, because there are some definitions out there that people sometimes confuse the terminology reclaimed water versus gray water. And as a matter of fact, we are working on various alternative water sources for the green industries along with my colleagues here. Today we'll talk about gray water. Probably I should not delve too much into this, but as we know, water-related issues for the green industries is something that has been, putting a lot more stress on these industries, and the availability, particularly of good quality water sources, is something that is potentially going to affect the sustainability of these industries. And when I say green industry, we're talking about the production of ornamental plants and crops and nurseries and greenhouses, and then all the way to the landscape utilization of these plant materials. For example, on the production side of things, with respect to water use utilization, it's not uncommon to see some nurseries and greenhouses that could be using upwards of 80 inches of irrigation per year. So that's quite significant when you compare to your typical agronomic crop that receives on average 15, 17 inches per year. So we're talking here very significant volumes. Now, because of the nature of the plants that we grow, we are always looking for the best water quality that we can get. We're selling aesthetics as an industry, and a lot of these plants are fairly susceptible to poor water quality. On the landscape irrigation side of things, particularly in the western states, upwards of 50%, sometimes if not more, of their water use in urban areas is devoted to landscape irrigation. Now, when you look at map of the country on different components, and in this case, drought, which is a major issue that has been happening, like I said, particularly on the western states, as you can see on the graphs on your left, you can see on the bottom left side, it's the drought index for the summer of 2013, which pretty much went from Texas. Just look at this way. If you're west of the Mississippi, you're bound to have drought issues, with the Mississippi River being right here, pretty much this line. Now, As of today, we have had one of the wettest years on record, so probably a lot of people are starting to forget about the drought, except if you're from California. And, you know, they're having the worst drought in the last 100 years or so, just like we had in Texas and surrounding states a few years back. But when you look at the map of the potential salinity issues in soils and waters, I mean, the map kind of overlaps with the drought. So in these regions, we have drought, and we have salinity issues in both on the water and in the soil. Now, what about the people on the eastern side of the Mississippi? Well, there are other issues there as well that pertain to water availability. And this has to do a lot with when we look at population in urban centers, a largest percentage of the population in the country live on the eastern side of the Mississippi. There is more precipitation, more rainfall, yeah, but there is also a lot more competition for our urban water resources on the landscape side of things. And also there are a lot of issues pertaining to pollution of surface and groundwater body sources. With this in mind, so what's the prognosis? What's the situation for these industries in the years to come as far as water availability, particularly availability of good quality water? Well, there are some big issues, and some of these industries are starting to take a look at what alternatives they have available to cope with a reduced availability of good quality sources. Of course, we know that using and or growing the right plants and crops for the site, at the production site or the landscape site, is one way to go. the use of best management practices to make a better use of the water resources that we have available there. And then considering alternative water sources that we have no use in the past, you know, staying away from groundwater supplies and surface water supplies of good quality. And we know that as an industry, there's going to be a less and less allocation of good water sources for these industries, considering the nature of these planet areas. So depending on where you are located in the country, there are a variety of water sources that could be used by for production purposes and also for landscape irrigation purposes. Anywhere from the use of brackish water sources, like in Texas they have a huge amounts of brackish water that could be pumped from the ground. There are regulations and limitations as to their use, but they're there. Reclaimed water, municipal reclaimed water, that's something that we're producing on a daily basis regardless of where you are in the country. Unfortunately, that's water that we cannot tap into very readily. Only very large growers and our industry entities like golf courses can have access to this water because of the plumbing, the routing that is required for this particular water. Capture of rainwater and management of stormwater supplies is also something that you know, we could potentially tap into it. If you're in a very urban area, the production of water from the condensation of air conditioning systems is something that in some commercial buildings, particularly and residential buildings, you know, could be tapped into it, and actually you will be getting very good quality water to irrigate the lawns and landscapes associated with these buildings. I'm going to go with gray water. That's a focus of our interest at this time. Gray water being the soapy water that is produced in particularly from households, and we're looking here at on the side of potential use of gray water for landscape irrigation. So gray water is basically a sewage water, wastewater that comes from a household or a business that is coming specifically from bathtubs, laundry, and showers. And it could account for more than half of the total wastewater volume produced at the household level. So here you see a graph from Cohen from 2009 from California. And you can see that he divided up gray water into categories, the heavy gray water, which by definition, it's not going to be possible to use it for different uses, whether indoor or outdoor uses being flushing of toilets. It's allowed in some parts of the world, not necessarily in this country. And then like gray water use, which is the stuff that comes from showers and laundry, which can constitute about half the total volume produced at a household level. And that could potentially, for example, in a California situation, in Colorado, I've also read some numbers that it could potentially provide upwards of 50% of the water needs for the average size landscape. Now, there are some numbers out there based on the literature, but this is a potentially, on a volume basis, a very good alternative that could provide for the irrigation needs of our landscapes, depending on what we utilize for that. So we have done some calculations, and it could mean a very large number in terms of water savings. So we will not be using potable water, municipal potable water volumes to irrigate our landscapes if we were to reutilize this water source. Main concern by public authorities with the municipalities, which are the ones that actually regulate the permitting of gray water use for landscape irrigation, it deals with a public health issue. That is fecal matter related things, E. coli, and such. That these are the things that are really limiting the official permitting by municipalities of this water source. So, and of course, there are some concerns as far as the environmental impact of the use of these soapy waters to irrigate plants, particularly the short and long-term effects on the environment, on the soils. So we have undertaken a couple of studies to evaluate some of these things. We ran a couple of years ago a short-term study using greenhouse landscape plants in a greenhouse setting where we had control over the gray water treatments that we utilize, and we used three main ingredients, clothes detergent, fabric softener, and bleach in a combination of studies. I'm not gonna bothering to go into a lot of these details, but basically we were evaluating, you know, control treatment with where we had on the municipal tap water, very good quality in Uvalde, Texas. And we added detergent to one treatment, detergent plus softener, second treatment, and the third treatment we added bleach. It's a bleaching agent which is common for laundry applications. So we grew the plants for a period and we irrigated them for 18 weeks with these treatments. And we monitor a different series of parameters. And the applied water, basically, like I mentioned, our tap water supply was a fairly good quality. And then you can see the constitution as far as electrical conductivity, pH, and the free chlorine on this water supply. You notice at the moment you add bleach, which is something that we were expecting. They just go through the roof, and we were hypothesizing that this was going to cause problems with the plants. We cannot store gray water. By municipal regulations, do not allow people to store gray water and then you reutilize it later. But if we were to let this water sit right after production from a washing machine, most of the chlorine will volatilize and will not be present by the next day. But by current regulations, we cannot do that. And that's certainly what we think was causing the phytotoxicity on our plants. Also raising the electrical conductivity because of the ionic concentrations, particularly sodium and chloride, you see that these treatments on these three particular species, they have the highest levels of sodium and chloride, certainly at stressful concentrations that would be related to salinity issues in these plants. And the burning, we think a lot of it has to do with actual a toxic effect of chlorine gas. As it was going through the plant tissues or even in some volatile form to some of these species that were fairly sensitive on a visual scale and also on the growth, as you can see all the numbers in blue that pertain to the last treatment that contains bleach, the plant not performing very well. Now, we are doing a study, which is ongoing, on evaluating the long-term effects. And we're particularly interested on the effects of these treatments on the soil properties. We think that the moment you have high levels of ions like sodium, chloride, boron, and chlorine, which are common constituents in gray water, in soapy water supplies, we are going to have issues not only plant growth, but on the microbiology of the soil where you're applying this water. So we started last year, we established a plot, 24 rows, 14 species, three different treatments. I'll show you what they are. And there are replications for each one of the treatments. This time the ingredients are being injected inline instead of being produced with a washing machine. It would have been impossible to do that. Our preliminary results to date is we have not, after a few months, 4 or 5 months of irrigation, we have not seen effects yet to speak of on the plants, but we're starting to notice things on the visual quality on these plants and nutrient content. Of course, there are differences between plants, but in general, we see that particularly the bleach containing gray water is the one that is causing some effects. And I'm going to close up with this, which is this is the component that has us excited. And we're having soil samples being analyzed for microbial diversity and microbial biomass and diversity as far as the functionality of different components in the soil. And we have noticed that definitely it is a huge reduction in total biomass of these microflora in the soils under plants that are irrigated with gray water containing bleach. Not as much if it is just straight gray water with detergents and softeners. But the moment you have bleach, I mean, you're knocking out basically all your rhizobia, mycorrhizae, and saprophytes. So we think that this is what's going to be a long-term effect that is undesirable when we look at the use of gray water. Now, we're, as part of our research in mind, we would certainly like to consider alternative detergents that are being promoted and utilized at a household level that we think will have a less detrimental effect if we were to use gray water supplies to irrigate landscape plants. With that, I'll accept any questions if there are any.
About 45 seconds before you should all be dashing off to the welcoming plenary session. So anyone have any questions for
Thank you.
Thank you.